Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
It's a remarkable thing. They have all the fame and the money, and yet the accomplishment of being the best at what you do brings incredible joy.
That's what it's all about right here. That's what it's all about.
I want my damn respect too.
With four titles in the last 8 years, the run is not done.
We keep going, bro.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet. I'm Malika Andrews, and it is a big day in the NBA because we have another chapter of the historic rivalry between Steph Curry and LeBron James. And really, at this point, we cannot take these for granted. These two basketball icons, they have ruled the NBA for the better part of, what, two decades now? And this showdown, it'll have massive implications on whether or not either can make a deep postseason run here. So the Lakers, they have been on a roll, right, since the start of February. They have a top three record in the Western Conference since that cryptic tweet from LeBron James, and we all remember the hourglass, right? But what's crazy is that even though they've gone 21-9 in that stretch, they started at ninth, and guess what? They're still there. Meanwhile, the Warriors, they have been hot too. They have a 17-9 record since the middle of February, but similarly to the Lakers, they have not budged in the standings, right? They're sitting at just 10th out west, and they were there around Valentine's Day as well. So that leads us to tonight's winner of this fourth and final matchup. They will clinch the tiebreaker, right? So the chances for both of these teams to make the playoffs, they will look massively different after the final buzzer sounds, as you can see here, according to ESPN Analytics. So here's a look at tonight's odds according to ESPN Bet. The Lakers, they're favored by 2.5 points at home, while LeBron's over-under points total set at 24.5, and Steph's is at 27.5. So who better to break it all down than our fabulous crew here? We have NBA champ Kendrick Perkins, our senior writer Zach Lowe. They're joining us remotely. And here in studio, Richard Jefferson.
Yes, you're welcome.
Who suited up in, what, 15 of these matchups, these Steph-LeBron showdowns? You were on the court for 15 of them?
Yes, on both sides, actually. So I'm excited about it. It's going to be a great game. I'm excited to break this down. Unfortunately, we have Perk here, and so we're going to have to listen to what he has to say.
Well, fortunately for us, we're going to start with Kendrick Perkins. Perk, what can you learn from tonight's massive Western clash? I got it, Rich.
I don't know if it's going to be a teaching moment, but I want to see Steph flurry, okay? Like, I want to talk about Steph. I want to see Steph trending on the internet, meaning we haven't seen one of those Steph Curry moments. We haven't seen one of those viral games where he didn't went out and had one of those 40 or 50-point games. I know he didn't have a 29 or a 28. That's cute and adorable for anybody else outside of Steph. But I want to see Steph walk out as the best player on the floor tonight with a W playing against LeBron James and Anthony Davis, right? That's what I want to see, because we all know the Warriors are not going anywhere unless Steph is playing at an elite level. We remember what happened in Game 7 when they had to go against the Sacramento Kings, and the reason that they won that game was because he had one of those Steph-like performances.
A Steph
Damn
Flurry.
It, I need to see one.
So he said a Steph – did he say Steph McFlurry? That's not – it's not a Steph McFlurry. It's called the Curry Flurry. That's what it's called.
Oh, there we go, the Curry Flurry.
It's called the Curry Flurry. And Perk, you're right. Steph and the Warriors, they're now at a place. They are now at a place where he has to be by far the best player on the floor and dominate, and then everyone else follows in. There was game six, Clay. There's been nights where it was Draymond. There's been years where it was Kevin Durant, or it was the collective effort. But now it is really Steph, and if he is not in that 30 to 40 range on any given night, then they just don't score enough. They don't have enough room for error. They don't have enough things to overcome that.
We know it's going to be driven by the stars in these types of matchups, but Zach, when you're looking at a specific player or a specific matchup, what are you going to be watching the most closely on the floor here?
First of all, I'm looking at RJ's attitude today, and I don't like it, RJ. You're being mean to everyone on the panel. Settle down. Number two, this series and this matchup starts and ends with, where is Anthony Davis on defense? Who's he on? What is he doing? Where do the Warriors try to put him? His defense, he dominated this entire postseason series last year with his defense. The Warriors couldn't decide, do we want him on the ball in the pick and roll? Do we want to try and stash him off the ball by putting him on, if they put him on Andrew Wiggins, just have Andrew Wiggins hang out so he's out of the play? He dominated the paint, and with the Warriors starting now, two big guys and two non-shooters in Trayce Jackson-Davis and Draymond Green, Anthony Davis is going to be able to wreak havoc in the paint, and the Warriors are going to have a hard time manipulating. Where is he? Can we get him out of the paint? Do they have to go smaller? Anthony Davis is the central figure in this matchup.
Let me just say this, Zach. I apologize for my tone. You know our relationship is perfect. Right, I love your floral print shirt. It lets me know that we are getting closer to spring. That I get excited about these moments. I'm just glad to see you. But I don't know. Forget Perk. I got one more point that I want to add to the professor, Zach Lowe.
Okay.
He is 100% correct. This has always been about Anthony Davis. LeBron has been the beacon of consistency when healthy. It's been about Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis is the one player that there really is no answer for, because he is the most versatile big, one of the most versatile bigs in the league. So, For the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, Anthony Davis has to be a focal point on both sides for both teams.
Is that what you're watching as well, Kendrick?
No, I'm actually watching an underrated matchup that don't get talked about enough, because we're always watching the head-to-head matchup and Steph and LeBron. But what about LeBron and Andrew Wiggins, right? Think about it. When Andrew Wiggins is guarding LeBron, LeBron is shooting 35% from twos. That's a low percentage. You know, when you're thinking about LBJ and how he lives in the paint. So I'm looking at this matchup because for some strange reason, Andrew Wiggins always looked like he has more energy, and all of a sudden his motor has more gasoline in it. So when I'm looking at this matchup tonight, I'm looking at this personal matchup right here, because again, we have to remember this. The year that the Warriors won the championship, what was that, 2 years ago? Who was the second best player on their team?
Andrew Wiggins.
It was Andrew Wiggins. One could argue he was the second best player on the floor between all of the players, between, you know, with them and the Boston Celtics.
Right.
So I'm looking at that matchup tonight.
I mean, we all know, right, this game, it has massive implications for both of these teams. I found myself, though, I woke up this morning, I kind of was on the wrong side of the bed. I was a little bit grouchy. I had to, you know, come work with you. I pulled a hair out of my coffee. That's something I know.
Was it your hair?
You never have to contend
with that. No, I don't. I have no issues with
you
that.
Don't even come weighing in on that sort of thing. But no, I really was. And then I remembered, okay, wait, this actually feels bigger than just one of 82. Because how many more of these LeBron James versus Steph Curry matchups are we actually going to get? And the last time, right, we've seen this twice, right, in the regular season this year. We had a double overtime game where Steph had 46 points. We had the shock clock weirdness at the end of that other game, right? But LeBron, he had 40 in that one.
Well, for me, it's more of how many times are we going to, where are you going to get, you might get a Christmas Day matchup.
Sure.
You might get something at the start of the season. How many times are you going to get a game that means something? Where both of the stars are looking at this going into the postseason. We need this. We want to still try and see if we can fight to the 7-8 so we get two bites at the apple, especially with uncertainty at the 1, 2, and 3. So this is one of those rare games. We saw it last year, I believe, in the play. Like when you get these, or 2 years ago on the play-in, last year in the postseason, when you get these two teams, when you get LeBron and Steph, the best players of this generation, when you get these guys on the floor and it matters, oh, the game just feels so much bigger.
Right, and that's what it feels like going into this one tonight, because the Lakers still have a chance, if they can get this win, to move up to the 8th seed. The Warriors, they're locked in 10, it kind of feels like, no matter what here. So there are actual stakes. When you're looking at this, Zach, though, down the stretch, this is the time time where the best stars shine the brightest. Who do you trust more to catch their stride heading into the postseason to make a deeper run here? Is it the Warriors' big three, or is it LeBron and Anthony Davis?
Right now, it's the Lakers. The Lakers have caught a real rhythm. This isn't a small sample size anymore. This is a good team. They figured out their offense, which was their Achilles heel for 2, 3, 4 years, ever since the bubble. They've been humming, and they've been humming for 2 or 3 months now. This starting five works. They're getting just enough production off the bench. They could use a little bit more, but they are rolling right now, and they're big, and they're imposing, and they get to the line. They feel like they have a more settled, stable kind of identity than the Warriors, who just switched their starting five again.
Right.
Both teams are playing well, but right now, if I'm one of those top three teams, I guess, other than Denver, who I'm not worried about anybody, but if one of those top three teams, I'm eyeing the Lakers and saying, huh, they figured something out. They're a little scary right now.
And to piggyback off of Zach, because I agree with you, I'm going with the Lakers. Think about this for a second. It has become a time where we actually could say that we trust Anthony Davis, because I don't think people realize how long he's been on this streak of being available and playing at an elite level.
True.
This didn't just start at training camp. This started last season. But, you know, after the All-Star break, when Anthony Davis had to carry the load while LeBron James was out to even get the Lakers into the play-in and into the postseason, which they made a run to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Now coming back into this season, Anthony Davis has been available. He has embraced the center position. He has been dominating on both ends of the floor. Any matchup outside of Jokic and Sabonis, I love Anthony Davis when he's in it.
Well, and it's very rare that we're comparing these two. Like, sometimes it's the Warriors versus somebody else or LeBron versus somebody else. But these two teams are both matched up very equally. I would say this about the Warriors. Right now, there is no big three. There's a big me. There is a big me, and that is Steph Curry. Mm. And they're still trying to figure out the other two, because they are not Draymond and Klay. They are not the same as they were when they were winning championships.
Okay.
Those two are different. Steph feels the same. That's why I say that they're not currently a big three. They need to do it as a collective effort, hence the Andrew Wiggins conversation.
Sure.
And all the other ancillary parts that they need in order for them to be successful.
And the two timelines that we've heard for so many years, that for the first time this season and really these last couple of months, we've seen actually start to be executed, I think, in the way that the Golden State Warriors initially had envisioned. Though, for all these teams, though, the playoffs, they start today. They don't start in a week. They don't start for these teams. The top 10 seeds, they are locked in, but the order in which they go, all of that is still up for grabs in the Western Conference. Still to come on NBA Today, though, let's head east, because Big Perk, he tells us why tonight's game against the Boston Celtics, it could make or break the Bucks.
Do you know Eastbound and Down? Do you know Eastbound and Down? Do you know anything about Kenny Powers? You know nothing? Okay, we'll work on that.
And LeBron is doing something better at age 39 than he did when he was 20. Find out what that is, Rich.
I don't know.
Plus, four-time
Kenny Powers
GM Bob Myers, he stepped by to tell us what the Warriors need to do to keep the dynasty alive. NBA Today will be right back. And yes, it was my hair.
Oh, he was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
We're not the losing team. We don't have that. have that mentality. That's not in us.
We don't bring the necessary seriousness on the road.
A wave at Doc Rivers is waving the white flag.
That is shocking.
They're soft and they're front runners. When the Knicks and Big Body Brunson started to fight back, they folded like clean sheets.
You gotta play better. Set the right example. You just hope that they will follow.
So the number one seed Celtics and the second seeded Bucks, at least for now, they play tonight in Milwaukee. So these two teams, though, they're going in somewhat different directions here. Boston, right, clinched the best record in the NBA, while Milwaukee is on a four-game losing streak. They have lost four in a row and six of the last seven. What Richard said. So the 2-5 seeds in the East, they enter play tonight separated by just a game and a half, right? So the second and third seeded Bucks and the Magic, they still face each other twice in games that could determine the 2 seed. The Knicks, meanwhile, they face the Bulls twice. The Cavs, they finish with a 3-game homestand with 2 of those against lottery teams. So there is a whole lot going here, and Milwaukee does not have an easy road. So Kendrick, you have been adamant on how important these last few games are for the Bucks. They currently are in jeopardy of losing that 2 seed. How important is this game for Milwaukee?
It's a must win. It's a must win. Toronto, Memphis, Washington, the Knicks. That's who the Bucks lost to their last 4 games. They're on a 4-game losing streak. And right now, this team is struggling with their identity. I know we've been talking about this all season, but they have shown flashes, and now they're to this point. And if you're a championship caliber team with championship aspirations, you do not want to be in this position. If your coach is calling you out for lack of professionalism or whatever it may be, Giannis has called this team out for not playing hard. I called this team soft just yesterday. This team has to find their identity. They're going against a team that they're probably going to have to face in the Eastern Conference if they get there to make it to their destination. That is your measuring stick. So they got to win this, one, to get back on track, and two, to have an assessment of where they are. This is one of those must-win situations.
Absolutely, particularly after losing in the first round.
Well, my thing is this. It doesn't matter. I don't think it matters if they are 2, if they are 3. You can win a championship in any one of those positions. Hmm. What matters is how they are playing. We've seen them be the number one seed and lose in the first round. So don't give me the 1, 2, 3 seed and how we playing. No, if you are not playing proper basketball going into the postseason, you are vulnerable to anyone. So, yeah, they could lose a game. They could win a game. They could be a 2. I'd rather be the 3 seed and playing good basketball than the 2 or 1 and stumbling into the postseason right now the way they would be. So for me, about the Bucks, is it a must-win game? You can't say it's a must-win game against a far better team. I would say, to me, it's more of they need to start playing better basketball, more important than winning particular games and finishing with a certain seed.
Zach, you have a master's in Milwaukee. Do you agree with all of that?
First of all, God bless the Eastern Conference. What a mess. Boston should secede from the Eastern Conference. They're so far ahead. Those standings are a complete mess. If I'm Milwaukee, though, look, Richard, you can poo-poo the seed and whatever. I at least want to be in the 2-3 side, so if I need to develop a rhythm, I can prolong the Boston matchup as long as possible by being on the opposite side of the bracket. But Perk said the magic word, identity. Look, we know the Bucks. They're just not going to be a very good defensive team. That's fine. If they're average or decent, that's good enough. If their offense carries the day, and if they have their full complement tonight, if Chris Middleton's back tonight, because guys missed all those games that they lost, losses were still bad. I want to see if they can get their identity and their rhythm back on offense, because we've only seen it in flashes. A Dame Giannis pick and roll on one side into a Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez pick and roll on the other, however you want to arrange it. That identity has really proven hard for them to grasp and keep. And they're going to need to do that every single possession if they're going to beat a team this good 4 times. And like Perk said, that team, Boston, is the measuring stick. And tonight's a chance to say, let's get our mojo back at the right time.
And why that makes me so nervous, Zach, you're right, is that I don't believe in getting – cute with playing the seeding game. Oh, try to get this matchup or that matchup. We see Philadelphia coming up the standings. They could be dangerous in the first round. I don't think you want to mess with all of that. But Milwaukee's been so firm in who they are as a team over the last several years. They have always sort of been up there near the top, feeling good about them. Milwaukee's sort of a safe choice to make a deep run every single year on the backbone of their defense. And that really just hasn't been the case for them this year. The one thing I will say about the Celtics, so we've seen them kind of get tricky over the last couple of games of, okay, we're going to not play all of our starters. We're going to want to fresh legs, but rested. Yeah. So
give me a 65-win team that's just got to figure out who they need to rest in the last three, four games.
That's kind of what I'm expecting we're going to see. The Celtics-Bucks game, it's not the only huge matchup, though, tonight that we have that has big playoff implications. So let's go coast-to-coast on some of the other big ones. And we are going to start in the ATL, where the Heat, they match up with the Hawks in a potential play-in matchup. So, Kendrick, it's almost that time. Jimmy Butler and the Heat gets turned all the way up. What's your confidence level on them making another playoff run?
Well, I don't have confidence in the Miami Heat. No one should. They have been horrible over the last couple weeks, especially on the offensive end, right? You talk about a team that is struggling to find their identity. The Miami Heat, that's one of those teams that are out there. Jimmy Butler has to elevate his game, and so does Bam.
We're pulling up to OKC. That's where the Thunder host the Kings. Both teams are looking to move up in the standings. Four games remaining. Richard, which team do you think moves up in their respective spots in the standings?
Oh, this is tough. I'm going to say the Thunder. Look, right now the Kings, yeah, they got a win against the Brooklyn Nets, but ultimately not having Herter, not having Malik Monk down the stretch, I think that's just crippling the Kings.
And lastly, the fourth-seeded Clippers and the sixth-seeded Suns. They are in the desert tonight. Zach, which team is more dangerous, do you think, in the postseason?
I still got to go with the Clippers, given what they showed us during that 30-game stretch where they ran roughshod over everybody. But, boy, Phoenix is fighting for its life to stay out of the play-in. These are two teams who need to catch a rhythm at the right time if they're going to be dangerous.
To your point, it's just wild when you look at the separation between the 1 seed and the 2 in the East versus the 1 seed and the 10 seed in the West. All that could be decided in part tonight. Up next, LeBron. He's accomplishing the impossible, and we tell you what that is coming up here. And Richard, the architect of the golden era, former Warriors GM Bob Myers, he joins the show live.
Oh, they miss him.
How Steph.
He jumped ship right in time.
Elusive edge over LeBron. We're glad to have him, though. So, you know, speaking of the glory days, we're going to relive the best Steph versus LeBron moments ever. Ooh. See what made the cut and if Richard is on there. That's coming up here on NBA Today.
Yeah, I'm doing something.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
The Lakers head into their massive game against the Warriors tonight, playing some of their best basketball, really, of the season. LA has won 11 of their last 15 games over the past month. And a huge reason why the team has turned a corner is just that the Lakers are flat out making shots. In fact, they are the best shooting team in the NBA since February 1st. And LeBron James has really led the charge. I mean, take a look at this. His splits before and after the All-Star break. LeBron is shooting 58% from the field and 47% from three since the break. That is a significant increase from what we saw before. As we say hello to our senior writer, Chris Herring. And Chris, you took out your magnifying glass and you looked at something that's actually a little bit different about LeBron's game. What is he actually getting better at somehow in his 21st season?
it's the three-point shooting. And it's not something that you usually see for someone in year 21, year 10, year 15 even. But for him, he has been way more efficient this year, 41.3%, up from 32.1%. The biggest jump we've ever seen, the second biggest jump we've ever seen from one year to the next for an NBA player with that many attempts. And I think the big shift that we've seen, you have to kind of break out the magnifying glass, as you said, but it's the idea that his body orientation has shifted slightly to the right, more facing the basket. He was a guy that really, when you looked at him, when you looked closely, he's always kind of shot the ball to the left of his body. And he's had his knees and his shoulders kind of angled toward the left of his body for the vast, vast majority of his career. And he's made a concerted effort. He told Doris Burke specifically, I've been trying to align my right shoulder to the basket just a little bit more. And it's made a huge, huge difference where you're talking about, again, 9.5 percentage points almost better than he was last season. So when you look at these videos here, specifically look at this one, he's more facing the basket than he was in the first couple shots that you saw. He's looking square at the basket, and his shot has lined up a lot better since the All-Star break, since last year. We're talking about a 17 percentage point difference in terms of his body alignment compared to a year ago. And it's just made a huge, huge difference for him so far this season as far as how he shot the ball.
Okay, so that's what I need to do. I need to be angling my right shoulder a little bit more toward the basket. Okay, I'm bad at math, but I am a huge basketball fan. So I get all of those numbers, Chris, but why does that matter for the outlook of the Lakers season?
The biggest thing here is that we're talking about the guy that already has more points than anybody else in the history of the game.
Right.
It's one less way to be able to guard him. There was a time in his career, much earlier in his career, where you could leave him alone and basically dare him to shoot. You obviously can't do that when he's making 42% of his threes, 41% of his threes. So now when teams close out on him aggressively, it obviously gives him more leeway to get to the basket. He's driven the ball and scored the ball better at the basket, better than everybody outside of Luka and Giannis, percentage-wise. And get this, at the rim this season, he has been more efficient than he was at his age 20 season, age 25 season, age 30, and age 35 season at the rim this season. Part of that is because he's just been on fire from three. You can't really play up on him too much because it's going to give him too much leeway there at the rim. And we know even at 39, he's still got elevation and the ability to finish over these guys at the basket.
We can all only aspire to age like LeBron James. Chris Herring, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on NBA Today. That really, though, is the big picture, right, for the Lakers season. And every game at this point is pressing for them. So now we're going to welcome in a reporter who covers the Lakers, our Dave McMenamin. Dave, LeBron James is aging like the wine that he drinks, but all that doesn't really matter if he can't go for tonight's game. Both he and Anthony Davis questionable for this one. What are you hearing on that front?
Yeah, Malika, the biggest thing about LeBron's body orientation this season, getting back to that conversation with Chris, is it's mostly been on the court and also on the court for practice days, allowing himself to get into a rhythm. He obviously did not play on Sunday, came down with a stomach virus. I'm told that it's a 50-50 call for him as we near towards tip-off. Now, obviously, the Lakers moved their morning shoot-around to a afternoon walkthrough at the arena to allow LeBron a few more hours to rest and get right. But if I'm a Lakers fan, I like that 50-50 number because here's another number for you. 282. LeBron James has never missed a playoff game in 282 times on the schedule. That's 3.5 full seasons almost.
Wow.
This is like a playoff game. He's going to be out there. As for Anthony Davis, that eye's been bothering him now for almost a month when he got hit in the face from Trayce Jackson-Davis. I saw it up close on Saturday before it was hit again from Kyle Anderson. It was still swollen, still bruised, and still hurting him. But I was told by a source close to Anthony that there is optimism that he'll be out there too. You know, the Lakers need this one, quite frankly.
Right.
They did a lot of work winning 9 out of 10 games, but if they don't close out with wins in these final three games, all that work would kind of be for naught.
Yeah, we've talked about this. This could be an opportunity the Lakers still have to move into eighth, but they have to start by winning tonight's game. Dave McMenamin, thank you so very much. Enjoy tonight's game. Let's bring this back to set because that's really the Lakers' end of things, right? There may, though, be even more questions surrounding their opponent tonight, the Golden State Warriors. And who better to try to help and answer those questions? Not than Richard Jefferson.
I saw you
sweating over there. I saw you getting a little bit nervous. No, we have a four-time champion here. Not just a one-time champ. We got a four-time champion. Bob Myers is joining us. Bob, thank you so much for stopping by NBA Today.
I appreciate it. And I would say to the two players on there, one championship as a player is worth many more as a GM. So you guys, I'm not going to try to compete with you. But although I did think about unbuttoning
yes,
a couple more buttons.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought about that.
And did you?
I thought about it.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, even if it meant, skipping the shave as well. A year ago, Bob, you would have been, though, at this shoot-around this morning for the Golden State Warriors. Can you just take us inside? We talked about how special it is that we still get to see Steph versus LeBron and have actual stakes here. What are the internal discussions going into a game like this?
Well, I think for these things, this could be a possible play-in matchup, Malika. This could be happening a week from now, so to speak. And so you want to establish something there. And the Lakers beat the Warriors last year in the playoffs and established some sense of we can beat this team. I think the Warriors would argue they have a better roster. Their GM last year didn't do quite as good a job as he needed to put together a roster that could beat the Lakers. But I don't know. I mean, that game, the game tonight, that potential matchup, it's really 50-50 to me. Although I don't think the Warriors match up that well with the Lakers. And you could argue the Lakers then match up better with the Warriors. But it doesn't mean the Warriors can't beat the Lakers. They just beat them, although AD got left that game early. So tonight's game could be a preview. I don't think for either of these teams they need to build on confidence. I'm doing the game tomorrow night, Minnesota at Denver. I look at that more as a game where if Minnesota can go in and beat Denver,
right,
it gives them some confidence. But these Warriors and Lakers teams, they got so many champions on their team. As far as what they need to do, I mean, you got to get out of the 10th spot if you can, right? That's just a monster road game to get two road games to get in the playoffs to play the number one seed, which I don't know. I guess that looks like Denver. Now, that's going to be a hard road for any team.
Bob, my question for you is this. When I played in San Antonio, whenever the Spurs played the Lakers or Dallas, there was a different type of energy a couple of days before, depending on how you won, maybe a day or two after. When you were with Golden State and, again, the play-in, all the NBA Finals, was there a different type of energy when you were going against a LeBron James-led team? Because it wasn't just in Cleveland. That's when it started, but it was like all of a sudden there. Was there a different energy a couple of days before the day of? Was there a different energy? Because I had noticed it with other teams and other places that had high-level rivalries.
Yeah, you know the answer to that. I don't know if you had to ask. You know the answer to that
question.
I'm just
asking you. You were there.
You know. I know, but you play. Right. You and Perk know. I mean, there are certain players that you get up for. There are certain teams you get up for. I mean, the Lakers are a team that teams get up for. They're a team that, with or without LeBron, the Lakers on its own is a marquee franchise. You add LeBron and AD, anybody that's been in the league, young, old, and champion, no champion, are going to get up to play those teams. But I certainly think now, I think what's fascinating about that dynamic, RJ, is that you're seeing this appreciation, whereas Steph and LeBron, they respected each other, but I didn't see a lot of prolonged hugging after games and Draymond. And these guys are realizing that this isn't going to last forever. Mm. How many more times are you going to see Durant play LeBron or Curry play LeBron or anybody play LeBron for that matter, or vice versa, Curry? How many more games does he have to play the Lakers or play against these guys? So what I'm enjoying and watching more now is, yes, they're going to be up. They're going to be up for tonight. They're up all the time when they play each other. But more tonight, it's going to be how many more of these are we going to get to see with Steph, LeBron going up against each other in meaningful games? And that's what's fascinating to me. I love seeing those post-game. I don't know what they're saying, because somewhere along the way, guys,
that became very trendy, the covering the mouth.
That's MJ. Right. Michael Jordan was the first one.
Okay,
when he came
that.
Back in 01, when he came back in 01, he was doing a lot of this because he's basically cussing out all the referees, and he didn't want everybody to know. And then that just became like a prolonged thing.
Yeah, Zach,
there you go.
We were talking earlier, Zach, about sort of the roster moving forward. It feels like still, even as the Warriors are balancing the end of this season, there's also the young guys bringing them along. You can take it away from there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see sort of what they can take from this season, no matter how it ends, because it feels like something works this week, then something different works this week, but then the thing that was working wasn't working anymore, and there's a lineup change, and every good thing that happens seems temporary, and you want big picture conclusions. I mean, Bob can speak to this. You want clarity about your team and your direction after the season, and the Warriors right now haven't learned all that much big picture-wise about their team. And if this season ends in disappointment, which I would define as losing in the play-in, they're going to have a lot of huge questions in the offseason. Klay's a free agent. Chris Paul has a non-guaranteed year left on his deal. He can essentially almost be a free agent in terms of his movability. Draymond is sitting there as he's had an up-and-down season, to say the least. It's a big offseason either way, but between now and the end of the season, you'd like a little clarity about something, and it feels like they just haven't been able to get that.
Have you gotten that clarity, Bob?
Oh, nobody has. I mean, they don't. Nobody knows. I mean, the problem is that whenever it ends, and I would say, what are we going to learn tonight? We're going to learn tonight whether the Warriors can go on the road, which they've done a lot this year, and beat a good opponent. The road record is actually really good as far as road records go in the NBA. So the Warriors can win on the road. They've got that. So
which is strange
game, yes,
after last year.
Right. I mean, last year, 33-8 at home. And this year, what do you got, Perk? You want to say something? You want to interrupt me? You got something?
No, I've been wanting to say something. I just didn't know if this was a Q&A with Bob or we actually was breaking down the game together. But I will say this. The one thing that you do know, and I know you heard the rumors last year, Bob, the Lakers actually wanted y'all to win that Sacramento Kings matchup, that series. They wanted y'all to win that series because – they felt like they have an advantage over y'all. So coming in tonight, I feel like the Warriors need this win for their confidence. I'm not talking about Steph. I'm not talking about Draymond or Klay. We know that they have confidence. I'm talking about the team overall, right? Like anytime you could face a team that you may have some type of doubt, because we all know anytime Steph and Braun match up, when it comes down to being eliminated without Kevin Durant, I mean, we're kind of favoring on Braun's side. You know that as well. But here's the thing, right? This game tonight means everything for the Golden State Warriors, and you know it, Bob. You know it.
Okay, I'm gonna go back and respect what Zach said first, because Perk kind of interrupted. I was trying to answer Zach's question. Then we'll go to you, Perk. But listen,
I didn't know
here's
it was a Q&A.
Okay, I interrupted. Malika, we need to get control of this show. I've been interrupted twice by Perkins.
I'm kind of enjoying it, Bob. Otherwise,
Perkins,
I'd help you. Go ahead.
Did I not do a good job on your deal? I thought I got you some money that time. Did we get you enough? Wasn't it enough? So look, Zach, here's the thing. What happens at the end of every season is you're one team wins a championship, right? Okay, that's it. One team's happy. One GM is happy. One owner is happy. One coach is happy. One fan base is happy. You could argue, okay, OKC's on the way up, and we're happy we went to the second round of Western Conference Finals. The point is, when you lose, you say, why did we lose? Okay, can we expect to be better next year? Does that mean our young guys are going to develop? And the Warriors have an interesting phenomenon, because Donovan did a great job with Trace and Pods. Those guys are going to get better next year. Is Kuminga going to get better? Yes. But what's going to happen to the other guys? Can we expect Draymond and Steph and Klay to keep getting better? That's going to be hard. Now, can they stay where they are? That might also be hard, but yes, I believe they can. So when you lose as a GM or any fan base or anybody evaluating a team, you say, why did we lose? The good news for the Warriors is they're healthy. See, because when you have an injury and you lose, for example, your team, the Knicks, for example.
Yeah.
How do you evaluate the Knicks?
Yeah.
How do you evaluate the Knicks without Julius Randle in the lineup? But if you're healthy and you lose, you go, well, why did we lose? Well, because this, and that. So as far as why and how and what clarity, Zach, when the season is over, and I hope the Warriors go very far, but whenever it ends, you have to sit down and go, okay, do we expect to be better next year? And why? And can we be realistic about that? But every team's doing that. And Perkins, is this a big game? This is a big game for so many reasons. So many reasons, because one, you want to get out of that 10 seed. Yes, you're up for LeBron James. Yes, you want to establish some dominance.
Yep.
Should you play them again? And this is the team that knocked you out last year and ended your season.
Right. And we, the fans, get to be the beneficiary of all of those stakes. Bob, I can't let you leave without also shouting you out for being nominated for your first Webby Award for your podcast. This is less than 2 years ago. Oh. You won a fourth ring. And now your podcast, Lead by Example, is nominated as well. Some people, they just keep winning hardware.
He's just Bob, a winner. Couldn't happen to a worse.
All he does is win.
See that name under, see J. Cole? That's the reason why people watch the podcast.
some people just rub elbows with winners and are winners. Bob Myers, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy day to stop by NBA Today. We have more to get to on our show. We're going to dive further into another sequel in the LeBron versus Steph franchise tonight to see which iconic moments and plays made a very special Top of the Top. That's next on NBA Today.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Rob Dillingham
of Kentucky. He's Kentucky's most complete player.
Dillingham hung in the air. Had some English.
Hallelujah.
Whoa, Dillingham lost his man and crossed him like a bad friend.
Dillingham.
He's got this about him now.
Whoa, Dillingham. Way out of town.
They don't want anybody around you because I'm too cold.
Rob Dillingham, whoa.
Oh my goodness. And look who we have stopping by. It is Kentucky guard Rob Dillingham. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule to be here with us on NBA Today.
For sure. Thank you, Malika.
I am so excited. I am doing really well. I love to do these interviews because I don't want to waste any time. You're here today to share some really special news with us. So the floor is yours.
With the help of my team, my longtime manager, Rico Greer, I've decided to sign with Clutch and enter my name in the 2024 NBA draft.
Wow, congratulations entering your name into the 2024 NBA draft. It's such an exciting time, as you mentioned, signing with Clutch. I know you're already getting underway with all of your workouts. So let's talk a little bit about the NBA draft, because we just saw a couple of your highlights, a couple of moves that we could see in the NBA as well. But last year, I feel like there was a consensus number one pick in Victor Wembanyama. And this year at the top, it's sort of wide open. So make your case. What are teams getting when they draft you?
I feel like teams are just getting a overall complete person and, like, a good player who can uplift others, because, like, I feel like at Kentucky, coaches taught me it's not about me and it's about winning and helping your teammates learn each other. So really just an all-around player, and whatever the coach needs me to do, I feel like I can do.
And that's such an important thing, especially as a young player coming into the NBA. There's always an adjustment period. We've seen it time and time again. But let's talk a little bit about the San Antonio Spurs, because they're going to get a high draft pick. We don't know what it is exactly yet. What do you think, watching someone like Victor Wembanyama play, what would it like to be playing alongside him?
I mean, it would be amazing, because there's nothing he can't do. So playing with him, it's like, if he has the ball in his hands, two people got to guard him.
So, right.
Really playing with the whole team and learning from Popovich, the whole team, and playing with Wimby, I feel like it would be an amazing opportunity for sure.
I know that you are at this point just looking at whatever opportunity comes. I know you're going to be ready for it. But I am curious if players, you know, young players, college players, as you were looking at someone like Victor, if you were paying attention like the NBA world was.
Right. I was definitely paying attention.
Yeah.
At first, they were trying to say it was hard for him. And then he started the season playing amazing, shooting over 40 from the three. He literally can do everything at 40 and 20. So I think he's amazing. For sure.
Let's talk a little bit about you. I know you are a scorer. You came off the bench largely for Kentucky. But what do you think? Who do you model your game after?
I really take after all of my favorite players.
Yeah.
My favorite point guard back then was Steve Nash. I used to watch Steve Nash, but also nowadays Kyrie Irving, Darius Garland, Tony Parker, a lot of players for sure. So I just try to be the best I can be.
Something that I love as we kind of approach every June is that this is a time of year that we get to see players' dreams come true. And it never gets old for me, sitting in that seat watching it over and over again. Have you thought about maybe who you want to share that moment with, how you want to spend your first NBA check, who's going to be in the green room with you?
Definitely my mom,
yeah,
my brother, my dad, sister, Rico, for sure. So I'm not sure yet, but I definitely want to help my mom for sure, my sister, her kids. So
That's really wonderful. It's a whole family affair, and that's really what this is all about. Congratulations again, Rob, declaring for the 2024 NBA draft. Good luck this year.
Thank you so much.
So awesome. We have Steph versus LeBron tonight, so it's time for a special edition of Top of the Top. That's coming up after this.
NBA Today is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
We have Steph versus LeBron, so it is time for a special edition of Top of the Top.
Brought Who doesn't to you love by the top of the top?
It's brought to you by PetSmart, Richard. So let's check out some of the best moments from their previous 51 meetings. We're going to start with your category, top pettiness. Bronze block on Steph.
What you talking about? Look at that face.
Game six.
That's flat top Steph. Yeah.
This is 2018 now, Zach.
Flat top.
Ooh, Steph hits a little step back. LeBron. Good game.
Oh, no.
Good game, pal.
Don't do that.
Good game.
Oh, that's disrespectful.
And then 2018, this is Steph. Deep buzzer beater here. And the three counts.
That's not funny. Stop. That's
making sure to count them. All right, top dagger. Top dagger perk. The Heatles. LeBron hits the game winner. This is in 2014 in Oracle.
Ooh. Oh, is that the first time hit him with it? Yeah.
Hey.
Then of course Steph had to get back over Delhi here.
Oh.
No, that was rude.
And then this is LeBron's game winner. This is in the 2021 play-in.
I can't see. Look, my eye.
Three ribs. Look, shoot, like, for the middle one.
He's like, look, I can't even see.
Well, LeBron and Steph entered tonight's game tied 11-11 in their regular season series. So Steph, of course, has the edge in the playoffs. LeBron has won the only play-in game. So it's time now for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. We've been talking about the game for the better part of the last, hour, Richard? So it's time for everyone to make their picks, and everybody is taking the Lakers over the Warriors, and I honestly don't know if that's a good or bad thing for Golden State.
Including Becca.
We have our audio director, Becca. We have a bad track record when we all agree, though, that it goes the opposite.
That's
who we got. Who are you picking? Download the ESPN Bet app to get started. New customers receive $100 perk in bonus bets once they place their first sportsbook bet with ESPN Bet.
Oh, well, hold on a second. We have some breaking news. But for more on our breaking news, I would like to welcome in our very own Kendra Andrews. Hello, Kendra.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks for lending me your shoes, but I am here, Richard, to deliver some breaking news.
What is the breaking
that
news?
That is that our very own Malika Andrews, my incredible big sister, was nominated for an Emmy for Best Studio.
Can we do it? Can we do the water?
The champagne.
Can we do the water? Let's go! That's what we're talking about!
Second woman ever to be nominated, RJ.
Congratulations!
We're so proud
of you.
And we love you.
Oh, man. I love you guys.
Let's go.
It's a group effort, though. Everything that we do on this show. I love you so very much. Thank you for spending your afternoons with us. I'm going to go get a towel.
Yeah. I'm going to definitely
see you tomorrow.
Watch the silk press.
I wish you were closer.
I ran away.
Well, that's it for today.
Love you.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Oh, man.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.